Okay, well, so this is the title of my presentation. I'm going to talk to you about the quantitative part of my dissertation. The qualitative part is going to be shared in a round table at 4:30, so I'm going to just divide it into the quantitative part. So the title of this portion of my study is a quantitative analysis of the characteristics of pesticide use among Colombian agricultural workers. So continue with the line of water, as you can see, pesticides also contaminate water. Although it's not the central part of my study, but that's something that I really want to continue working on in the future. And this is a research that was finally done thanks to the University of Florida, University of Antioquia, and also the Compton Foundation that gives support about environmental studies. That picture that you saw before, it's a beautiful campesino that I worked with. So just to show you a little bit of the reality, I don't have any relationship with any, you know, anything to disclose anyway. So just to have like a quick introduction, because I know time is a pressure factor, just to talk generally about how important it's the pesticide use and exposure in agricultural communities worldwide, and it's a fundamental public health problem. This use has been associated with many different effects on human health, but also, you know, in the contamination of water. The reality of pesticide use is also prevalent in Colombia, not only, you know, in the US, as maybe you might know, but in so many other countries in the world. And in this case, Colombia is central. If you know the flowers that are grown in Colombia, so they are, you know, they belong to the crop that needs more amounts of pesticides, and it's a big problem. A variety of crops are sprayed with pesticides, which is what I just told you a little bit. Pesticides are used for local but also export economy. When I interviewed the campesinos I work with, they were sharing that when they grow flowers, they have to use about 10 times more pesticides than when they grow like their crops. It can be tomatoes, lettuce. So they have a big pressure when they are going to export a big container of flowers to the U.S. If they only find one little insect called trick, the whole container is burned. So they have a big economic pressure for that. So going more like to the general ideas of how this is the impact of the pesticide use, then we can see that a lot of different systems can be affected. It could be neurological part, the immunological, respiratory, but also reproductive. Several potential means of direct exposure exist. Campesinos and people in the household can either ingest the pesticide, they inhale the vapors, or they can also have, you know, really bad protection, as you're going to see later on, and they can absorb pesticides through their skin and also through their eyes. They can get the exposure softer. Yeah. So exposure not only affects the farm worker, but also children and pregnant women. And I'm not going to get into detail here, but there is a lot of research out there that has shown that. Reproductive alterations and congenital malformations are related to in utero exposure to pesticides, and also altered breast development. In terms of the specific case of children, you can see cognitive, neurologic, and developmental alterations. Pesticides used in Colombia, so we are going to just talk right now directly into the, you know, to the Colombian case. So regulations for pesticide use have been, you know, have banned certain pesticides, but not, you know, many others are still used. Like, you can see so many pesticides that have been banned in the U.S., and then the U.S. sells those pesticides to Colombia. And then we buy them because our regulations are not that strict, right? So up to 70% of all pesticides are applied to rice, cotton, potatoes, pasture, for cattle, and then also flowers. And then also you can see that many, many kinds of pesticides are used. They can be herbicides, insecticides, and also fungicides. increase in the prevalence of spontaneous abortion, prematurity, stillbirths, and congenital malformations has been related to pesticide use. And then, as you may know, organophosphate pesticides, they alter cholinesterase, so many, many times you can see altered levels. And that's a study that was done in 2003 in some departments in Colombia. They are called Bolívar, Córdoba, Valle, and Antioquia, which is where I am from. So the study site, we did the data collection in a place called San Cristóbal that had about 36,000 inhabitants. And it's formed by 17 like small rural subdivisions. That's the name of the different veredas, which is the way we call it in Spanish, the El Llano, Las Playas, La Cuchilla. So I went to 11 of those 17 veredas. The average owned farm size is about 1.5 acres per family. I'm not going to talk, you know, I don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but this is usually a farm worker, let's say a campesino, that owns the land. It can be, you know, inherited from the grandfather or the grandmother. So they own their land, but the land is small. It's about 1.5 acres. So that's the area. You can see Colombia is in the north part of South America. And then that's the specific, let's call it, state where I did the research, which is called the Antioquia Department. And that's the small region where I did the data collection. The kind of colorful part is the city. Like the, you know, the yellow and then purple, that's the urban part. And then you can see on the top left, the green area called San Cristóbal, that's where I did the data collection. And then that place has this, let's say, land use map. And then you can see mainly, you know, the yellow part and then the pink part is just land that is dedicated to agriculture. So those are pictures of campesinos working in their land. As you can see, it's a beautiful landscape. All the agricultural work is manual. They don't have tractors. They don't have, you know, big mechanic, you know, machines. So the big research question was, okay, what are the attitudes, beliefs, and risk perceptions in terms of control and confidence of a campesino pesticide user? And I compared that with a non-pesticide user population that live in the same area. So in terms of methods, we collected 78 questionnaires. 54% were pesticide users, and then 46% was the group of non-pesticide users. We received approval from the IRB at the University of Florida and also the Medical Ethical Committee at the University of Antioquia. So in terms of methods, we, of course, provided informed consent to all participants. We did demographic information, descriptive analysis of agricultural practices, and we stratified by either pesticide user or non-user, and I call them sometimes agroecological adherents. The semi-structured portion that had scales that provided ratings, and we processed that and analyzed it using SAS 9.2. This is the main finding of participants, mainly adults, married, kind of half and half, males and females. The average time working in agriculture was 36 years, so that's pretty much what they have done all their lives. The average age was 53 years, and the average years of education was 6.1, taking into account like 1 year starts in kindergarten. So they barely finish elementary school. So you can see the literacy level of campesinos in Colombia. So in the description of agricultural practices, the fungicides that are mainly used are carbamates, herbicides, you can find paraquat and then glyphosate, and then also fungicides. So you can see the diversity of all those chemicals. In terms of insecticides, they use a lot of organophosphates and carbamates also, and most of them are high toxicity. So you can have an idea of the problem. Those are pictures that I took in the field. That's the way they store pesticides. You can see in the up middle part, like yellow pump, that's the way they spray the crops. They use a 20-liter pump they put in their back, and then they just fumigate with that. They store pesticides mainly in the kitchen of the house. So you can have an idea of how complicated that is. And on the other side, you can find the reality of agroecological adherence, which is a non-pesticide users group. And they don't use pesticides, they use animal manure, ashes, different herbal extracts, and then also compost. And they grow their crops with that. As you can see, you know, roughly, pesticide users only grow three kinds of crops: cilantro, chives, and flowers. That's it. And then if you compare with the right-hand side, you see that agroecological adherence, they grow so many different crops. So agroecology is based on that diversity, because there is a big knowledge about how some crops or some plants can help to control certain pests that can attack other plants. So they have more diverse crops. In terms of protective equipment, you can see mainly they use plastic boots. Sometimes they use bandanas, like made out of fabric. And this participant who grows flowers, he only put the mask on for the picture, but he doesn't use it. So it's kind of an irony. So that's why I decided to put it there. And then if you compare in the picture on the right, that's the ideal protective equipment they should use. And the problem is that they sometimes don't know that how important that is. They also don't have any training about that, and they don't really have any support from the government either in terms of that. How many minutes do I have? 5. Okay. So this is the analysis we did. So the data analysis, we did descriptive statistics, analysis of principal components of the scale to determine the structure, chi-square test to compare, you know, either pesticide users or non-users across categorical variables. We built the score probability for questions in terms of attitudes and beliefs. In beliefs, we did logistic regression analysis to examine the relationship between pesticide use and other variables like confidence and control. Internal reliabilities and cropback alpha, also we did that. And Spearman correlation coefficients to detect correlations between variable about attitudes and belief. And also logistic regression with a dichotomized version of perceived pesticide harm. So as you can see in this table, perceived pesticide harm was related with pesticide use. So increasing one unit in perceived pesticide harm decreased the value of using pesticides by 79%. In the second row, we can see pesticide control related to pesticide use. So increasing one unit in perceived use decreased the logit of using pesticides. And the same thing with perceived confidence. So the higher the perception of confidence and control, the less likely they were to use pesticides. This is the scale development, so I'm just going to kind of go quickly with that so we don't have much time. With the multivariate analysis, we explored how the variable perceived pesticide harm depends on other variables, and we wanted to explore that. And we found that perceived pesticide harm is related mainly with age. So that's showing us that younger participants, they don't think that pesticides are dangerous, really. They are less likely to think that. So I made this graphic, although I'm kind of sad because the purple square, you cannot really read it, but these are the most influential individual factors in the decision-making process. So when they had up there, the purple square is showing us the beliefs. So when they believe pesticides are necessary for their crops, they are more likely to use pesticides. When they have low perceived control and low perceived confidence, they are also more likely to use pesticides, and also when they have low perception of pesticide harm. I just recommend how future studies in public health could be oriented. Those are my 2-3 final slides. So I think public health interventions should have the goal of improving confidence and control, and that's related with environmental justice. So the more control they have, you know, the less likely they are to use pesticides. Future studies should also work in the direction of improving social and environmental justice, as I said, and they should focus on increasing awareness about the harmfulness of pesticides, especially among younger community members. Also, they should have more economic support from the Colombian government because the support for agroecological practices is pretty much nothing. So you can find small NGOs that are starting to promote that, but the government doesn't really do any work. Public health intervention should involve the participation of stakeholders also, because one of the things that are expressed by campesinos is that if they don't have much support from customers, then who is going to buy what they grow, right? So if they could have an easier way to sell their products, then it's easier for them to stop using. This also has policy implications. So policymakers should incorporate new laws and regulations in which some pesticides that are still in use could be banned, right? They also should have more supervision in terms of, okay, do you use protective equipment, right? How is that equipment? All those things. And they don't have any training, any supervision from the government at all. This could help to improve the use of adequate personal protective equipment, and there should be more policies that also promote those agroecological practices in which they don't need to use pesticides. So, and those are the references, and I really want to thank you. I think it's, you know, like flying really quickly because it was a long project, but I think at least it makes us think about how big the problem is in Colombia in terms of pesticides use. Thank you.